Whether your facility is regulated by USDA, FDA, or both, there are food safety and quality challenges that are unique to your facility, your size, and your products. On this episode of TAG Talks Food Safety, I, your host, Lisa Lupo, am welcoming TAG's newest Director of Food Safety, Nikki Vasquez, to discuss some of these challenges and how to overcome them. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lisa.
Well, we're really looking forward to hearing what you have to say about all this. So, you have spent a great deal of time in small to medium USDA regulated food facilities, both as a manager and as a consultant. So, what are some of the greatest challenges that you've seen these facilities face that maybe are less challenging for the larger companies?
Honestly, it's adapting to new technologies. First, there's the whole, well, we've always done it this way challenge,
Exactly.
which you hear quite often, in especially in small to mid-size organizations. Smaller organizations tend to run quite a bit leaner than the larger players do where management is concerned. So they get busy in the day-to-day running of the facility and sometimes don't have the extra bandwidth to keep up with the newest technologies, procedures, equipment. Or unfortunately, sometimes even the regulations. I had a client that I was working for who, at the time when I came in to do some label review, had some labels that still say enhanced with X percentage of solution. And this was several years after that law had that regulation had come into effect, but they hadn't heard about it, hadn't done anything with it. And the USDA inspector who was there had kind of, I guess, overlooked it. So it was one of those I had to very gingerly convince management because that was quite a bit of label stock they had for this product. So there's that monetary effect as well to kind of grandfather them out of that to get them into the newer, correct labels.
So that actually kind of segues into the next question, where it would seem that complying with USDA regulations and even knowing them would be more simple because there's an inspector right in the plant. But it's not always that easy when the inspector cites you for doing something wrong, or as you've noted, maybe didn't cite you for something that wasn't right. So can you discuss this a little bit more?
So USDA makes their rules a bit open to encompass every possible food manufacturing situation that it covers, right? So you don't want to be too specific. They don't want to be too specific because they'll narrow it down and leave out a whole lot of people. So it leaves a lot of room for interpretation on some of these rules. And what can happen is that especially processed food plants don't have an inspector on site 100% of the time. And they might have situations where the inspectors rotate from different facilities throughout the year. So this happens, this leads to different inspectors having different interpretations of the rule. One inspector can interpret a regulation one way, and the next inspector 3 months later will interpret the regulation in a different way. So then it becomes who was right, who was wrong, where do I go to, and how do I manage this without stepping on one inspector's toes, and making that a problem for me later on?
Well, and another issue that some of these plants face is that they are dual jurisdiction, such as those that manufacture pizza or soups or even multiple seafood species that are regulated by both USDA and FDA. So, what are some of the challenges that those facilities face?
Let's see, there's communication, 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 and then scheduling of said communications.
Got it.
USDA is really particular as far as pre-op inspection goes. They want to be notified every single day that their product is going to be made. They want to have the opportunity to do pre-op. They might not always do pre-op, and a lot of times they don't in dual jurisdiction facilities, but they want to have that option. And if they find out that maybe you had scheduled an FDA day that day, but switched to, say, if you're running a soup plant, switched to chicken noodle soup from broccoli cheese, now they're going to have a problem because they didn't have the opportunity to pre-op, even if they weren't going to begin with. And now you have an unamenable product. So there's really a lot of talk and scheduling, a lot of communication between you, your inspector, the production staff, the scheduling staff, all the way down to you receiving or shipping staff, because they could be bringing in the right or wrong ingredients for a particular item that you're going to make, which may leave you stuck if you have the wrong thing for the wrong day.
Okay. Some
All
of that.
about talking to each other.
Got it. Keep talking. So some of that also relates to quality assurance, where you've done quite a bit of work. And particularly, you've worked with sensory testing. So one of the maybe some more unique or challenges experiences that you've had in that area, of course, without naming names.
We had an issue one time where a seasoning company was supposed to add oleoresin paprika to their seasoning, gives it a little bit of that more yellowish color that you like in your broccoli cheese soup,
Okay.
a little bit of flavoring. They had made a mistake and instead, to one batch, added oleoresin capsaicin, which looks much like it, however, has a very different taste profile, let's just say. It makes things quite a bit hotter. It was only in one lot of several that they had sent the facility, and we'd used several lots that day. We had made an entire day's run of broccoli cheese soup. So we're talking 30 to 35 batches, 5,000-pound batches
Oh,
of
wow.
soup. And we had to go through, and some of the lots of seasonings were mixed a little bit, and some had full of the bad lot, and some only had half, and some had three quarters. So we had to go through every layer by layer of every pallet that we made that day to assess kind of what was the hot stuff, what was the not hot stuff, what could be kind of given away, what could be not. That was a very long day of broccoli cheese testing.
It's too bad they couldn't have canned it as, extra hot and spicy broccoli cheese soup.
Absolutely, that was my suggestion, but the customer probably wouldn't have gone for that.
No, we don't want extra spicy. Thank you, though. So, another quality process that can be challenging is that of ensuring that a particular product that is produced in multiple sites is homogeneous across all those sites, regardless of whether they have a same process or different processes. So what are some of the ways that that can be managed if somebody is in that situation?
So there's two possible scenarios in that situation. One is that you have sister sites within the same company who are making that same process, who are making that same product. And that's a little bit easier to manage because you're not bound by restrictions of confidentiality and such because they're your sister plant. They might have very different machinery. Maybe they were These two are two acquired plants from different places. They don't have the same equipment. They don't have the same processes. So that involves, a lot of talking amongst each other and figuring out, what processes are leading to what sensory experiences. The other part that can be challenging is if you have a customer who has multiple vendors producing the same product. They still want all of their product to be exactly the same. They're a national chain brand restaurateur, and they want your French onion soup experience to be the same in California as it is in Massachusetts. But they might be supplied by two very different manufacturers from two very different companies. In that case, it becomes down to that customer to kind of set up things for their manufacturers to be able to come together and look at those, like do cuttings against each other to see what is the preferred, what can be tweaked here and there to make them more symbiotic.
Okay. So some really great insights, Nikki, some interesting things you've discussed here and some good advice that you've shared. But given all that we have talked about, what would you see as the key take-homes or advice or recommendations that you would want our audience to remember?
One of the things is communication. Keep an open mind. There's not always one right way or wrong way to do something. Obviously, there are regulations that require you to do certain things certain ways, but getting to that point is not always a sure road. So keep your options open. Keep communicating with all the different departments of your facility. Keep communicating with the USDA or the FDA, and keep an eye out for the newest things so that you can bring your facility up to where it needs to be.
Okay, great. Thank you, Nikki. Really, really great information. And I want to thank our audience also for listening in. We really hope that we have provided some valuable insights on working with USDA and FDA. We appreciate your joining us. And as always, to stay informed on all things food safety and ensure that you don't miss any episodes of Tag Talks, be sure to like, follow, or subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, or whatever your favorite podcast platform happens to be. Thanks again, Nikki.
Thanks, Lisa. I enjoyed being here.
Yes, it was enjoyable having you.